Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, September 6, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. A massive voter purge anticipated today in the Midwest, plus an asylum seekers' hunger strike is now into day 60. Topping our news, after scoring a victory in court, the Ohio Secretary of State's office expected to follow through today on a massive voter registration purge.
The purge is happening despite discovering mistakes on the list released by Secretary of State Frank LaRose of roughly 235,000 voters at risk of losing their registration. Jen Miller with the League of Women Voters of Ohio says the list erroneously includes names of some voters who were actually eligible to vote.
Thousands of individuals on the list had voted as recently as 2018 and by no means should be removed. Others may not have gotten proper notification because of discrepancies between county's list and the Secretary of State LaRose's voter lookup website.
This week, a U.S. District Court judge denied a request to temporarily halt the removal process, noting that LaRose has been transparent in releasing the registration list and restored registrants who were eligible. Nearly 12,000 people on the list updated their registration information and won't be removed. Miller says voting rights groups appreciate the Secretary of State's efforts to ensure a quality review of the rolls, but contend it wasn't as in-depth as what they'd prefer.
At the end of the day, the buck stops with the Secretary. Both in federal law and state law, it is the Secretary's job to make sure that voter rolls are accurate. And that includes making sure that people are not wrongfully removed through this purge policy.
This story was produced in association with Meeting the Public Interest and funded in part by the George Gunn Foundation. I'm Mary Sherman.
And today marks day 60 of a hunger strike by three political refugees from India detained for more than a year in El Paso at an ICE facility.
The policy of indefinite detention began under the Obama administration and has continued under President Donald Trump. Previously, most asylum seekers were released. Margaret Brown Vega with the group Advocate Visitors with Immigrants in Detention says the strikers all passed a test showing they have credible fear of violence if they return home.
All of these guys have sponsors. They don't have any kind of criminal history, so they pose no public threat. On that basis, they should be released to be able to pursue their asylum claim outside of detention.
The hunger strike was called to draw attention to poor conditions at the El Paso Service Processing Center, Vega says, and because of a deep desire to be free one way or another. A report in The Guardian revealed that three strikers were recently force-fed by ICE through plastic nasogastric tubes, a practice opposed by the American Medical Association and seen as torture by United Nations officials. ICE representatives maintain that force feeding is necessary to keep the men alive and is required by regulation. I'm Eric Galatis.
This is PNS. After historic floods this year, critics of new development on the Missouri River feared they could send the waters even higher. Here is Eric Teganoff.
On the banks of the Missouri near St. Louis, proposals for developments by Bangert Island and in Maryland Heights would be across the river from each other and built on important floodplains. As head of the Great Rivers Habitat Alliance, David Stokes says the science is clear that more building on the river's natural floodplain will exacerbate the region's flooding issues, but local governments seem to be taking little note.
One day I'm going to go to a city council meeting or a county commission meeting where they make the quorum by hooking together their lifeboats. And then at that meeting, while they're hooked together their lifeboats, I swear somebody's going to approve a new floodplain development proposal, and they're not going to see any connection.
Stokes likens this issue to a three-legged stool. Overdevelopment on the floodplain is one leg, making floods worse. The other two are too many levees, which channel the river faster and higher, and climate change, which causes more precipitation. Officials in Maryland Heights in St. Louis County still are looking for approval for development in an area that's flooded three of the last 5 years. This year, a nearby lake flooded when overflow couldn't be pumped back into the Missouri, where waters were too high. Officials say they plan to develop the area in a safe and smart manner, but Carolyn Pufault, who volunteers with the Missouri chapter of Sierra Club, thinks the plan is dangerous.
They're planning a housing development in an area where they know these houses are going to be flooded. They cannot plan for basements in these houses because of their groundwater. They realize they have a huge drainage issue in this area.
One solution, according to Stokes, is restoring as much floodplain and wetland acreage as possible.
That's no magic bean. You can't just put a few acres out there and expect the floods to go away. But in the long run, giving the rivers room to roam, to connect to their natural floodplains, is the only way that you're going to address these flooding issues.
And finally, people opposed to reviving the proposed nuclear waste dump at Yucca Mountain held a panel discussion Thursday night in East Las Vegas.
The plans were shelved during the Obama administration, but U.S. Energy Secretary Rick Perry has requested $116 million in this year's budget to restart licensing hearings on the project. Emily Woodall with the Nevada Conservation League says people need to stay engaged.
You know, Yucca has been in the background, but it's becoming a bigger and bigger issue, especially under the current administration.
Speakers at the event worried that nuclear waste could eventually leak into the water supply and said potential spills of nuclear material en route to Yucca Mountain could poison the environment and hurt tourism in the state. Officials in Nye County and Congressman Mark Amadei support the licensing process to determine if it would be safe. I'm Suzanne Potter.
I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we are online at publicnewsservice.org.